7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Hello, everybody. It's Kat Kerr here. We're having our fourth podcast. And we love doing this. They're a lot of fun. We have a lot of exciting subjects, and we've just been going over about 10 different ones. So I'm not sure what you're going to get tonight. I know that we're going to talk about encounters.
Yes.
And not just ones that I've had, but other people who are here in the room have had a few encounters of their own. That means they saw an angel, they were caught up somewhere, or heard something, or felt something. Some encounters aren't always about what you see with your eyes. So I know we're going to talk about encounters, and then we were going to talk about, like, orbs. What are orbs?
Yes.
You know? And maybe even a little bit of history of the angelics, the angels, the shining ones. So here we go. Let's go. Jen, ready. Go ahead.
Okay. I don't even know where to start.
We've been laughing too much. we're so trying to be serious this time. But when the Holy Spirit's with you and they're so excited, and the angels, so many angels in this room right now, we just can't. The presence is just amazing.
And there's a yummy brownie sitting on the desk.
I'll move the brownie, Jen.
That I keep staring at.
This is our bonus. We're going to split it four ways, so you know, we don't get all the yumminess. We're going to share it, okay? So there's the brownie. I'll move it there. Let's go.
Okay.
So
you want to share first?
Well, no, I have way too much to share. So let's go ahead and let Jen share an encounter she had. It's actually amazing.
I don't know which one you want me to share. Why don't I share what happened when I was writing the first children's book?
That would be awesome.
Which, if you don't know already, I am doing the children's version of Kat's book. And the first edition is being illustrated right now.
Yep, she's got about 50 of them to do, y'all.
And I'm going
to
start writing the second one. So, anyway, when I was writing the first book, it was quite a struggle, battle. It was hard. I had ups and downs. Kat prayed for me a lot, and one night I was just really, it just seemed to be flowing really good, and I was writing a certain part of the book.
Is that about the carousel?
This was before the carousel. I was writing about them going, the characters in the book were going to the throne room to meet Jesus, and...
These are characters that weren't in heaven. They didn't live there. They were
no, they
human
lived
beings
on,
that lived on
yeah,
the earth.
They lived on earth, but they were going on an adventure in heaven. And they were walking down the path towards the throne room. And all I wrote was that one sentence. And my entire room went black. And then my one wall opened up. And it was like a movie screen. And it was like I was seeing my book... in cartoon form.
That was so cool.
Yeah, it was wild.
You saw heaven as cartoon.
Yes, everything was in cartoon. The characters were there. They were walking down the streets of gold.
That was amazing.
The flowers were singing.
And that's what the illustrations will show, right?
Yes.
It's going to be so cool.
Yes. And then they went into the throne room. They got to meet Jesus. They got to experience things in the throne room, the different types of dancing that was going on. They interacted with some of the people. They got to meet an angel, beautiful angel that taught dance in heaven. And then when they left there, the wall closed and my room went back to normal. And of course I ran out immediately and told you what I saw.
That was exciting.
That was the first time that it ever happened to me. And it was quite
But it's happened
shocking.
Many times since then.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And then a couple months went by and I was working on the book again, and it happened again. I was in my room writing, and they were going down a different path this time, heading towards the amusement park.
Amusement park in heaven. Woo-hoo.
Yes. And you could see it off in the... And the same thing. I wrote one sentence, and the room went dark. The wall opened up, and it was like there was a big movie screen, and I could see them walking down this path. The trees were alive. They had faces. It was wild. It was like I was seeing my book in cartoon form, but it was heaven. And, you know, they went into the amusement park. They saw the carousel, which is amazing. I won't go into too many details
because
you'll have to wait
away
for the book, okay? And then once the whole scene was over, the wall closed and I was just sitting there in my room amazed.
That's special.
But, you know, I've had other experiences since then. You know, I've seen angels walk past. I've heard angel wings rustling in my room.
Mm-hmm. That's not the only one here who's had that happen.
That's right, yes.
Mm-hmm. So Gigi's here, our mom. We're going to let her talk about one of her encounters. Really quick, you're going to love this. It shows you that it's possible for almost anybody to have encounters.
Are you saying because I'm old?
No, it's not about being old. Even if you have never had experiences growing up or you haven't been really running after these, that doesn't mean God's not going to let you have one. And so in our own place here where we live, she's had several encounters. You can talk about one of them.
One of them was I was standing by the front door, and all of a sudden I heard and felt, I heard wings like a big bird. Mm-hmm. Right above me. Our ceilings are about 12 feet high.
Yeah, they are.
And I felt the wind from them. Mm-hmm. And I turned and looked, but I couldn't see anything. Oops. Sorry. I turned and looked, and I couldn't see anything, but I just had this feeling that there was someone there.
Yeah.
So
the angels, I
figured
awesome.
It was an angel. Mm-hmm. Several times after that, when I was out in the kitchen, we have just a partial separation from looking into the family room. It's counters, but it's all open. Mm-hmm. And out of the corner of my eye, I saw someone walk past there. I thought it was
someone else
in the house. And so I left the kitchen, went around there to look to see if they were behind one of these
pillars.
She's
going to find them.
There was no one there. Mm-hmm. That's happened 3 or 4 times with me. So, you know, and lots of times I just have a sense of knowing
the presence
of God. Mm-hmm. And I felt that quite often after my husband moved to heaven. It was at night when I go to bed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. God was letting you know that they were watching over you, I'm sure. So it's precious, isn't it, that God does that?
It wasn't anything I pursued. It's just, I guess, because we have a continuous
flow of heaven
in this house. We have godly music playing all day long in here. And
which is
so
a good
it's
idea.
Just in everybody's bedrooms, just about. And so we try to keep that presence.
Yeah,
and
the atmosphere is very important.
So many people that visit or come in just stand there and they say, it's so peaceful in here. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, we have John Tussey's music going quite often, which we all love and appreciate.
So anybody can really create a presence for heaven, can't they?
Yes,
you can. You can. So
it keeps an end. Asking for grace in the morning, of course, helps immensely.
Don't forget that.
Well, thank you, Mom, for sharing that.
Yeah, thank you.
All right.
Welcome.
So, Kat, you want to share some of yours?
I'm just going to even offer one that I thought was a little funny. My husband, every now and then we'll see things, and he used to install cable a long time ago, and he actually would see demons or angels in people's homes when he'd install their cable. And he knew whether it was going to be a good install or not, sometimes depending on what he saw. He just didn't share it with people, he told me sometime later. But he also saw angels in the kind of the same area my mom has. It's like a thoroughfare. I think they go in and out in different places from this building. And so he was standing there and he heard my mom talk about the angels that she saw, and literally I was watching from behind him, and one walked down the hallway, glowing wings, all of it, just all of it, grand, amazing, and walked right in front of him so he could clearly see them. Then he turned and walked away and walked through the wall. He got so undone he couldn't talk. I mean, that was, that's an encounter that a lot of people sometimes have, and they're normally they wouldn't want to tell people, but here is, that's kind of normal. And he couldn't speak, and I actually said, so did you see the angel? And all he could do was shake his head. He still couldn't get words out. Actually, he stayed that way for a while because of the presence of the glory that they can't, I mean, they glow. Some of them glow, they shine. And it came so close to him, probably within about a foot of him. And he kind of, after that, was looking for them everywhere. So it is possible, no matter who you are or what you think, that this is happening more and more in this time that we're living in this kingdom age right now, that heaven is being seen visibly on the earth, sometimes even by non-believers. And so many people desire encounters. Some of them seek them passionately. I tell them, if you're seeking them, seek to know God more or do something for Him, you know, in that place. That would be probably one of the best ways for you to see that happen to you. And of course, if you create a habitation for heaven in your home, they're drawn. You know, it says God is comes, inhabits the praises of His people. And so if God is inhabiting the praises, the angels are surely going to be there too. And I've had so many of them where they actually literally saved my life, visibly saved my life quite a few times that has happened. I see them all the time everywhere. Right now we have a lot of angels in this room, even behind our producer right over there, Chris. Christian's got a really huge one. His head goes through the ceiling. It's right over there behind him. And so we're being affected by them all the time. If you hear us laugh a lot, it's probably because the angels are so close to us. We just get really silly.
Yes.
They laugh. They also do laugh a lot. So be encouraged. A lot of times in the past, at least in the past, when I would go speak somewhere, I'd leave, people would actually see them sitting on their sofas. Sometimes it's your own guardian angel. Sometimes it could be a messenger or scribe. Sometimes God just wants you to know that they're there.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was just listening intently to you. Okay. Can you explain what are orbs and what they're used for and why people see them? Why do they show up in pictures sometimes?
In pictures especially,
and
not? A lot.
Yeah.
That is one of the ways the angels, it's like transport for the angels. They have many ways they can come from heaven to earth. But one of their favorite ways are to travel in orbs. That looks like a big bubble. What is an orb? Something that looks like a ball, a big bubble. Sometimes you can see inside of it. Sometimes swirls of color, sometimes like slight images. And they're all different sizes. And many times the size of them could determine, you all need to not start that laughing. Many times, many times, the size of the orb could determine the size of the angel. Like if you see a really huge one, like maybe 10 foot high, the angel could be 150 foot high. Because they're spiritual beings, they are not limited to a space-time planet. There's no limitations on them. That's why they can pass through walls and appear and disappear. There's all around you is a spirit realm, and there's many openings, not just portals, but many openings. To me, it looks like these open slits in the spirit realm. They go vertically, and I see angels step in and out of those and go travel places. But they love orbs, and they're even in the movies now. So many things are being put in the movies that actually is truth in the spirit realm. And so we saw one. We were in San Francisco declaring things for God over the San Francisco Bridge, and someone took pictures of it, and my angel, who's really huge. Yeah, Jen can talk about that for a second.
I took the picture of it.
And it was big, wasn't it?
It was huge. The orb was like, it almost looked like you were standing in it. It was so big because it was like right in front of you. Mm-hmm. And of course, I'm doing hand signals, but nobody can see me right now. But yeah, it was a big orb. And I took a picture when you were praying, and
we actually have the picture of that orb.
Yeah.
And why did they show up in cameras? Because even in digital cameras, the way cameras are designed, they capture light and definitions and dimensions, and actually the proper term is layers. Now, if you had an SLR camera, a single lens reflex camera, there literally are, those lenses are made in layers, and some of those layers capture spiritual images more than just you know, just like a single shot camera or something. But even some digital cameras, especially today, they're beginning to combine the lenses of the digital and the single lens reflex cameras, and you will literally begin to see more dimensions and features, in not just in the sky, but around you, you'll begin to see them. And that's because the light will reflect and refract from images through these layers of the camera. That sounds maybe boring to some people, but that's why some people capture fire angels or angels by the altar or other places. The cloud of witnesses that was captured all by cameras. And actually there is one. If you look up Heidi Baker, I don't remember where in Florida, I think it was, I'm pretty sure it was Heidi Baker was starting a school to become like missionaries or mission school, and she was having a graduating class, and someone actually sent me a picture of the graduation night. I believe it was a graduation night, and the cloud of witnesses came from heaven down into the room, and you see this cloud, this glorious cloud,
yeah,
right in the middle.
You literally
can see faces in this cloud. Now people are going to look all over for it. If I ever find it, I'll probably post it somewhere again. But
probably if you Google Heidi Baker Glory Cloud or
Glory
something
cloud,
like that, you
Florida,
would probably be able to find it.
Yeah, you might find it that way. But it was amazing. And I'm not saying like two or three images. There was like 30, 40 images that I could define and pick out in that cloud. And everybody was seeing it with their natural eyes. It was just wild. So this is the time for the glory to be seen and felt by us on the earth, because your birth was timed on this earth to not just experience these things, but help to make them happen by the way you live your life.
Very good. Okay. Would you like me to read some questions?
Yeah, sure. Go ahead and read a few questions. And then we'll take a few minutes at the end to share some websites and stuff like that.
Okay. I thought this one was very interesting, especially since Trump just did the State of the Union address,
which was amazing.
It was very good. And I just had the question, where did it go? Okay, here it is. This person, Bonnie, on your last podcast would like to know, have you ever seen any American okay, don't make me laugh.
Okay, go ahead. Any American
what? Oh, gosh. The atmosphere in here is so thick right now. It's
Your
hard
face
to...
is actually all red.
Okay. Where was I? Have you ever
seen
any American founding fathers in heaven, former presidents, and American historical people like Lincoln, Reagan, you know, anyone else like that? Have you ever seen anyone?
Of course I have. I've seen governmental figures, I've seen just historical figures like Paul Revere, I've seen George Washington, the George Washington, and I know people go, oh, well, he was part of the Illuminati or whatever those places and things were called. Anybody can say anything about someone who's dead, okay, because they're not here to defend themselves, so I take most of those with a grain of salt. I will tell you truthfully, I have seen many different people in heaven. Abraham Lincoln, of course I saw Abraham Lincoln. And then I've seen people like Bing Crosby, you know, Elvis. I'm just going to throw it out there. I think we
yes,
can watch
you. Yes, I know. You talked about Elvis
quite
I've a lot.
Seen, I'm trying to remember what her, Whitney Houston.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. She gave herself back to Jesus the night that she, I think, actually died. And she sang, Yes, Jesus Loves Me, in a club. Because people were asking her to get up and sing. She wasn't feeling good. She wasn't doing good. She didn't want to. So finally, to make them stop, she stands up. And everything within her heart, she started to sing, Yes, Jesus Loves Me. And she actually gave herself back to Christ. And she was gone the next day. And I saw her before the throne of God, receiving a reward for using her beautiful voice, her gift God put in her. I saw her, and now people go, oh, well, she was a false religion, whatever. Let me tell you, it doesn't matter what you believe throughout your life. If you, in your moments, last moments on the earth, sometime God just put something in you, your heart begins to be drawn to the living God and to Jesus Christ. And no matter who's in heaven, they only got there one way, by receiving Christ. And so I have seen many, many people that lived on this earth even many years ago. I've seen Adam and Eve, King David, who's a character. I've seen Esther, I've seen several of the disciples, I've seen Elijah, he's really amazing, Enoch, who has emerald eyes, and you can hear his frequency from his being coming before you ever see him. I've seen Moses, I've seen Abraham, powerful men and women of God that walked on this earth that were God's friends. And of course, I've been to Abraham's bosom. I've seen hell also. At one point, I'll probably do something called exposing darkness, but not right now. We're still revealing the light. Okay, so we're still revealing the light in this time. The light of God, literally one day, our faces will shine like the stars in the heaven because of our relationship with Jesus Christ and his Father, just like Moses up in the mountain when he came back and his face shined. It terrified people. They put like a cloth or a veil over his face. In this near future, that will begin to happen with others who truly have such an amazing relationship. And you know what? You can run after that anytime you want to. And people go, well, I'm not even hungry. Ask him to make you hungry. You came from him. You know, he birthed you from himself, sent you to the earth. And so he cares very much for you. So yes, I have seen many different people in heaven. And they're using their gift that God put in them before they came here. Whether it was holding rodeos, I've seen Roy Rogers and Dale Evans with their horse Trigger. Yes, your pets go to heaven. Don't fight over it. Just rejoice over it, okay? They're there.
Awesome. Okay. Now, I know I've heard other people ask you this, and you have answered it before, I think in a meeting one time. But this is a Facebook question, and Amber would like to know if you can explain the Father's perspective on the unpardonable sin. What did Jesus mean by blaspheming the Holy Spirit? Does it mean you resist the Spirit consistently enough that you can't be saved?
No, that's not what that means really at all. Blaspheming the Holy Spirit is you are literally despising, hating his very being, what his purpose was to come to the earth. The unpardonable sin is pretty much the best way Jesus explained to me would be like what Lucifer did. Okay, the intimacy he had to ever commit the unpardonable sin, you would have had to have an amazing, powerful, extremely intimate relationship with the Father, with the Son, with the Holy Spirit. And so the unpardonable sin is like you were like Lucifer, you walked in God, you were a part of what he was doing in heaven, and then he despised him, hated him, wanted to take over what he was doing, and never in his heart was there any place where he was ever going to give himself back to God. He cannot say he's sorry. He can't repent. None of those fallen angels can repent for what they did when they chose Lucifer because they lived there. So if you lived in an intimacy with God that was that close, turned your back, despised, hated him, ridiculed him, and blasphemed all of their names because you were striking down everything God made you for, that relationship he desires to have with us, with mankind, and them being one together, you despise it and hate it in your heart, that would be the unpardonable sin. And most people have never committed it. And I want to say, if you think you have not. If you think you've committed the unpardonable sin, you have not committed it. Because when you do that, you could care less. Lucifer could care less that he did that. So if you think you have, that's some form of conviction in you, you did not commit that sin.
Okay. Good. Good answer. All right. I can go on to another question, or we can discuss something else.
Well, I think we're doing pretty good. People probably, I'm sure there's answers that burn in people to know certain things, and there's so many translations
from
the Bible.
Well, I thought this one was kind of a fun question, and I'm sure I'm not going to say this person's name right, so forgive me, but it's on the podcast, and it's Vinkata, is what I think it is. If I said that wrong, I'm sorry. But he would like to know if the prophets, such as the prophets of the Old Testament, also ride the roller coaster called the Rush. Are they allowed to?
Everyone in heaven enjoys the fun, the adventure, and the laughter. Whatever is fun, God made it for everyone. So yes, you cannot picture those prophets the way they were, the conditions they lived in, the atmosphere around them, what they were facing themselves personally. They would have never dreamed, and by the way, that's why Paul would not share what he saw. Not only him, Daniel didn't share everything he saw, right?
Yes.
Daniel could not have possibly shared about the roller coasters in heaven and other things that were happening. There was nothing like it on the earth, and so he said that was for another time. Guess what? It's this time. Why are we hearing these things? It's time. It's time for those scrolls to be opened, for those revelations to be given to us. And yes, Daniel rides the roller coasters. Everybody loves those roller coasters. They have the biggest one they have. Its name is the Rush. And they go up on this high track. They leap off the track because you can't get hurt in heaven. They leap off the track, go across the sky with no track under them. And then they go down into the crystal sea, come back up out of the crystal sea. Talk about a rush. That's why they call it the Rush. Everybody loves the roller coasters in heaven. So yes, they do enjoy. And I love it when the Father said, heaven is 50-50, half powerfully filled with splendor, wonder, so profound that you just stand there. If there was time, you'd be standing there forever just looking at something he made just for you when you came home, just because he loved you. The kindness and the goodness of God that he shows everyone in heaven. People just get so undone. You think Isaiah got undone on the earth. You see him get undone in heaven. So yes, heaven is fun because he said you must come to heaven like little children,
yep,
like a little child. So of course there has to be fun, right?
That's right. Okay. This person would like to know, this is another Facebook question, Tammy. She would like to know, what is the dry place and where is it? I don't know if she means when we send the...
I'm sure she's the only time I talked about a dry place. Now, a dry place in your own life would be a place where you weren't hearing God necessarily or didn't feel the presence of God, didn't feel the Spirit of God. We do go through dry seasons ourselves so that our faith can increase. And we can still see God. But if she's talking about the dry place where the demons get thrown, they hate anything that's dry. That's why you don't find a lot of demons in the desert. They like places that are filled with mildew, with like swampy things. And a lot of the second heaven has places that are like very swampy, mucky. The most disgusting smells are in the second heaven. People go, what is that? It's where Satan has set up his own little kingdom, which he doesn't even have any right to do that. He just took it. And so, yeah, demons love slimy mold, you know, black mold. They love all that stuff.
Yeah, a lot of them even have smells, demons themselves.
They have a stench.
Yeah.
And probably Satan has the worst stench of all. People can't tell me he doesn't exist. That's not going to work. I've seen him too. And actually, he himself is not ugly. He doesn't have a pitchfork or horns. He doesn't look like that at all. He's actually sort of like, not really dark skin, but more of like a European. Not that he's European, okay? People will go everywhere with
like
these comments that are made.
Tone.
Not really olive tone. Skin. It was more a little bit more tan than that.
Okay.
And he actually was extremely handsome because he was the anointed cherub. He was beautiful beyond description. When he was in heaven, he didn't lose all of that beauty. It says even he can appear as an angel of light sometimes. But his eyes are cold as death.
Yeah, filled with hate.
He loves death. He loves hate. He loves to kill, steal, and destroy. And so, yes, when you get to levels where you understand totally, when you send the host, you command the host to go and pull down strongholds of demons anywhere in the world, you can command them to throw those demons in a dry place. There's actually a scripture that talks about in the future when there will be an abyss. I'm not talking about the abyss where Satan will be thrown for 1,000 years. I'm talking about there are another mentions of the abyss where many demons were seen coming out of that abyss. I really believe those are all the ones that we, as believers, have the host of heaven throw those demons in a dry place. They can't do anything when they're thrown there. And I've seen in the courtroom of heaven the Father himself sentence them to a dry place. Because they were attacking believers without cause. So there is a dry place. It's a place where they're held. They can't get out of it on their own. They're stuck there until I really believe at one time, probably the perilous times or something like that, similar to that. It talks about them being loosed. You probably won't be here when that happens, by the way.
Okay. I'm going to go back to this. I'm on the Angel Tribes podcast that we did. And this person says, her name is Michelle, and she says, how do I know when they are God's host or demons? She has lots of pictures of the host, but she wants to know, how does she know? I know the answer to that,
You mean in the pictures, right?
Yeah, she said, how do I know when they are God's host or demons, since some of the hosts are fierce-looking.
That's right, they are fierce-looking. And I can say most of Hell's Army are missing parts. They don't look beautiful when they go across the sky. If you're a seer, or God allows you to see them, I have seen them go across the sky running from the host of heaven. They don't want to be anywhere the hosts are. If they are on assignment, because we, you know, like the Lord of hosts, he commanded them, he sent them out on assignments. Jesus did. We're joint heirs. We actually can do that. And there's whole messages called Invite Heaven's Army. It's a weapon. They're one of our weapons. And God said, command ye me. He wasn't saying, tell me what to do. He was saying, you command. You rule with my son. You command. And so we command an army like any other military person commands them, natural armies on the earth. You can send them to put on strongholds, slash, bash, trash, and they will live over your home. So if you're seeing these beings, even though they're fierce, I had pictures of really fierce ones over my own, over the atmosphere where our office is, and they live there. They don't go back to heaven. If they're an army that's assigned to you, they'll stay there. We see them all the time. They increase the more you send them. It is powerful to see them, but if one shows up in your room, any being, spiritual being that shows up in your room and says, come with me, the Bible says to test every spirit. So you actually have to ask that spirit. Don't just go with them. You ask that spirit, are you of the spirit of the Most High God who sent his son to die for the sins of this world? And when you say that, those beings cannot say, yes, they are, if they aren't. If they say, yes, we are, then they're being truthful. They belong to God, no matter even if they look strange. But if they won't say anything, or you see fear in their eyes, you command them to get out of your room and don't let them stay there.
Awesome. Okay. I know you're going to want to answer this one. This is from Janelle. And she would like to know, how do you feel about Harry Potter?
Ugh.
A pastor I know likes to read them for entertainment.
Oh, no, that is not wise at all. People have this notion that these movies and these comic books and these books that people read are fantasies. But when it comes to witchcraft, there are no fantasies. Okay? There's a difference in a true fantasy would be like, I don't know, well, like Thor, for instance, you know, there is no real Thor, there's no Asgard, there's none of those things, and they stand for what is good, and they have good morals in those stories, and I actually kind of like that. That doesn't mean you watch it 15 times in a row and fill your soul with that movie. I'm just trying to show you the difference. Harry Potter is a lie, because there are witches.
Yes.
It's a lie because there is no good witchcraft.
Nope.
All witches are evil. They all operate with Satan. Even though they may appear to be good, it's going to be one of the lying signs of wonders that comes upon the earth. And that's why we've been fed this Harry Potter witchcraft. The author operates in it. And she designed those books to fill, especially believers, with witchcraft. She despises believers. She said this herself on talk shows. She doesn't want anything to do with them. She laughs all the time at how many believers went after that witchcraft. In our own library, if you read all the Harry Potter books and you just put that on your card, you came up, they gave you a certificate saying you completed Witchcraft 101. If you've ever read those books, loose the entire book from your soul. Because if it's in your soul, it will begin to affect your thinking. And there'll be a time on the earth where the good witches battle the bad witches so you can see that they're really good. Because they want you to follow them. But it's all a lie and a deception. The Bible says have nothing to do with a necromancer. That was back in Jesus's day, in the disciples' day, and that meant have nothing to do with witchcraft. There was not one good witch in the Bible. There are no good witches on this earth, even though they may think not mediums or psychics. Okay, that doesn't mean they don't have some form of a gift, but the enemy uses it. Even though you may think it's good, you should have nothing to do. Loose all that. If you had your palm read, loose that. But Harry Potter witchcraft was a plot and plan of the enemy to flood the earth with witchcraft. And I mean, believers ran after it, bought all the books, watched all the movies. And now you can buy spell kits. You can buy manuals with spells in them to mix things. And that you can do spells. You mix concoctions to use to put curses on people. This is Harry Potter products. There is nothing good about that. It's all a lie from hell. So don't keep it. Loose it from your soul. If your kids have it, take it away, get something good for them, and say, here, this is going to be better for you. We want to keep you safe. Don't keep it. And if you're in a family where someone says, no, I bought that, I want them to give it, you lay your hands on those images of products and say, I nullify any power of witchcraft, whether it's a movie, whether it's a doll, whether it's a spell book or whatever. If you don't have the right to say, get rid of it, you lay your hand on it and say, I nullify the power of the devil, will not affect my family in this. And then pray for them to know the truth. Because let me tell you, Harry Potter World in Orlando is coming down. Because every time I drive past it, I send the host to pull down every witchcraft spirit surrounding it, and people will become bored with it, and they'll tear it down. That awesome. Is what not, I just think. The Father said the revelation of heaven will diminish the effect that Harry Potter witchcraft has had on this world.
Awesome.
It's about time we had more of heaven and the light and the good of God.
That's right.
In apparel and home decor and everything, it's about to flood this earth.
That's right. Because we need to create an atmosphere that welcomes heaven into
That's
our
right.
homes. And I want to go back and just ask you really quick if you want to share a little bit on, I know we talked about seeing and hearing angels and stuff like that. What does it mean to have a seer anointing?
We can probably talk briefly about that because that would have to be a whole entire session.
Just a little.
There's so much involved with that. And people always ask me, well, when did you get it? I was born with it as a baby. And I literally remember as a baby, I can in my soul see my mama bathing me in oil. And I didn't never know why I would see that. But she told me that I was actually allergic to water. Is that wild? And God said he was just going to anoint me for whatever I was going to do in the future. And literally for the first year, I had to be bathed with oil. And so, but I remember that. I remember seeing that in the spirit, but it was like I was there. So I was born with that as a little tiny girl. I saw angels. I saw demons. In the beginning, it was just like beings of light or beings that look like dark gray smoke images. As a little tiny girl, but the older I got, I clearly would begin to see them and understood God had given me something, but to me that was normal. And I see spiritual buildings. It's not just beings, but all around us, there's a spirit realm that was the original realm. It's heaven is a spiritual world, and all of the universe was just a spiritual place. There was no planets or anything out there, nothing physical. There were spiritual things everywhere, like places for people to go to, angels visit and stuff like that. They actually have places they go and play out in space. But so all around us is the spirit realm, and there's buildings used by hell in dark, wicked places, and there's buildings used by heaven. And sometimes if a church is sharing truth and revelation, they build these like crystal stands all the way around that go almost to heaven, and angels come and stand on all those all the time to watch the activities of what the church is doing for God.
Wow. Wow, that's amazing.
So a seer... A true seer, and some seers see 24 hours a day. Some see only at certain times or for specific reasons. Some see only the angels. Some see only the demons. So there's no, this is the book on it. This is the only way it is. So seers could be any different age. They don't have to be a certain age, even little children, older people, of course. But at certain times, God does open people's eyes to see the spirit realm. But the spirit realm itself will be seen by your natural eyes more and more in this world.
Well, I look forward to talking about that some more in another podcast. So I think maybe we can share a couple of your events coming up.
Oh, yeah, that would be great.
Do you want to let a few people know?
Well, I do know that I have some stuff this month. I will be in Orlando on the 20th of this month, February, in Orlando, Florida, at Victory Christian Ministries International. On the 20th, that's a Wednesday night. And then I will be going to Tampa Bay, Oasis at Tampa Bay.
Yes.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Oasis at Tampa Bay. And that will be on the 24th. That is a Saturday night, correct? And what time is that going to be? Is it 6?
I believe it's 6.
6 o'clock?
Yeah.
And then the very next day, on the 25th, I'll be back in Orlando.
At One Accord.
At One Accord Church in Orlando, Florida.
And that's going to be at
7 o'clock, and that's Saturday. So I'll be Wednesday, Saturday, and Sunday, that whole week, starting on the 20th, which is Wednesday, I'll be in and out of Orlando and Tampa. In March, actually not even March, I keep forgetting, oh my goodness, February 28th, I leave for Seoul, Korea. I'll be in Korea during the Olympic Games, during the Special Olympics, and man, we are going to bombard that spirit realm with heaven. We're going to send the host way ahead of us to take down any strongholds, open the hearts of people. I'll be speaking at 3 different places. I think March 3rd is my first meetings with a group of international businessmen. I'll be doing several meetings for them. And then I think it might be maybe around the 5th, possibly 4th or 5th, I'm not sure. But you'll be able to see it. We'll post it that you can see what the dates are. I'll be speaking to the, I'm trying to remember the name of it, Apostolic Reformation Network. I'll be speaking for them for several hours on the 5th, I believe it is. And then for the next 6 days, I'll be doing meetings for the Peter Wagner Institute in Seoul, Korea. They actually get credits for these meetings that we're going to have, and they get certificates. Whatever the subject matter was, they actually get certified in that subject. Boy, am I going to have an amazing time, and heaven is also. So I'm excited about those. In April, I know that I'll be in Kansas, Resurrection Morning, and then probably speaking in Missouri.
That's Lamar, Missouri.
In Lamar, Missouri, April. And then in May, I will be several places in May. I don't have my list right now, okay? And then the end of June, I'll be leaving for the Scandinavian cruise. It's going to be amazing and powerful, 12 days.
That is going to be awesome.
We fly to Southampton, England, okay? And then we go to, I think, Belgium. And then Denmark, Sweden, Norway,
Russia,
Estonia is going to be really powerful. And every year we're going to have a cruise. God calls it a sea base. And then throughout the rest of this year, I know for sure that I will be in Colorado, and I'll be in New York. I'll be in many other places, Australia. I'm trying to remember some of the other places right now. Oh, Heaven's Invitation. We're going to have that like the second weekend, I think, in June.
June the 14th. I think it's the 14th, 15th, 15th and 16th.
Will be Heaven's Invitation right here in Jacksonville, Florida. That's our own event. And then, of course, at the end of June, we leave for the cruise, and we come back in July. We'll be back home in July, like the 9th, 10th, and, something like that.
And anybody, you guys can go on her website, revealingheaven.com, to her events section and find the
all
events.
The
as we confirm them, we'll post them on there, and it also, she has a Facebook page.
It's public Facebook page, right?
Yeah, a public Facebook page. It's called The Kat Kerr, and there's a link on her Podomatic where you can go to her public Facebook page, and all of her events will also be on there. And she has a lot of Facebook lives that she does that are on her Facebook page that you can go and listen to. So,
and I look forward to sharing a lot more content on heaven itself. So many fantastic, amazing things people get to do in heaven. They really live. They live. Their body may be in the ground, resting, and on the day of the dead in Christ shall rise, their body will be given back to them, glorified. They'll be immortal. It's going to be amazing just belonging to God, you know, and following our path with Him. Amen?
Amen. Okay, before we end, do you want to speak a blessing over everybody?
I will speak a blessing, an impartation to everybody, okay? That an impartation to have heavenly encounters, to be filled with the presence of God. Let your supernatural discernment be even sharper still. You hear clear, you'll understand clear, as long as you're running after Jesus Christ, because we don't have any of this without Him.
That's right.
It's because of Him, and with Him, and for Him, we get to rule and reign right now in this world. So, Father, I just impart the anointing to rule and reign right now. And everyone listening, say, I receive it. Father, bless their finances, their relationships, bring restoration to their families, God. And let the entrepreneurs stand up and flourish and prosper in this time. And make sure your own soul is prospering. Remember, it says, guard your heart, thus guard your soul, for out of it will be the way you live your life. If you don't like who you are, stop saying things about yourself that God doesn't say. Start saying what He says about you. Let your soul prosper so you can live in health and you can prosper.
Awesome.
Amen.
All right, is it time for the brownie now?
We're now going to have our little reward right here, right? So many, many blessings on all of you. The rest of the Lord, if it's time to go to bed, I've not had dinner yet, but that will happen maybe in an hour or so. And all the rest of you, run your race. Command the host of heaven and crush the acts of darkness and keep your crown on. Don't let any man take it. We might talk about that next time.
Ooh, that's a good topic.
Yeah, it says, the Bible says, don't let any man take your crown. We'll talk about those crowns.
All right. Until next time. Bye, everybody.
See you later.